hello to you, you, and you. This is none other than Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, sponsored by Avnet. I'm Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and happy August, everyone. That leaves just 8 more days until my birthday. So, if you consider a couple days for shipping, and then, better start shopping right away. In honor of my birthday, we're talking about FPGAs this week. In fact, we're having ourselves a big old FPGA fiesta. Why? Well, it's my birthday, so don't question. First up this week is Joy Wrigley from Lattice Semiconductor. Joy promised she'd bring me a piñata for today's festivities and a side dish of Ice 40 Ultra. Let's dig in. Welcome, Joy. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Amelia. Hi.
We talked a year or so ago about the world's smallest FPGA. Now, you've done a major upgrade to those, right? What kind of applications would use these?
Yes. Okay. So as you know, our company took a big right turn a couple years ago, and we started talking about how we're going to start focusing on the consumer market space.
Right.
So the kinds of applications we've targeted are these mobile handheld devices. So mm-hmm. the kinds of things you'd make phone calls with, wear on your body, use like a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, that application space is indicative of all mobility.
Right.
So not just the consumer market space, but again, let's look at things you would hold in your hand, industrial handheld equipment, scientific and medical handheld equipment. So when you look at the class of applications that has a battery, a screen, a processor,
mm-hmm.
that's power constrained, size constrained, this is the kind of application space we're targeting.
Very cool. All right. So even though this is a super tiny FPGA, you've managed to pack in quite a lot of stuff that you would normally find in a much larger FPGA cousin, right?
Yes, actually we call it the ASSP plus fabric, yes.
Okay.
So I like to think about this as almost a piece of fixed silicon with a tremendous amount of hard IP blocks
okay.
with programmable fabric. So I can give you the list of all the things we put in there. So
please do.
The things we know are common in all these mobile handheld devices. You have to interface to other products and chips. So
sure.
of course we're going to harden some of those interfaces. So
mm-hmm.
we put in a couple blocks of I2C hardened interfaces, SPI interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
These are the very common interfaces for mobility.
Sure.
We also understood that everyone wants to create their secret sauce.
Right.
Right? So how do you do that? What do you harden? So everybody needs unique clocking.
Mm-hmm.
They need to make unique state machines. So low power oscillators are part of creating a state machine with low power clocking.
Mm-hmm.
High power oscillators, so we have low power oscillators, high performance oscillators, and then we also put in a PLL because everybody likes to divide up, divide down, and create their own special clock for interrupts
right.
and other unique state machines. So that's what I would call the housekeeping blocks we've put in.
Okay.
And the interface blocks that we've put in. But furthermore, we've said, hey, everybody's looking to do some level of pre-processing, right? The
yeah.
whole magic of mobile devices is, how do I not use that processor?
Right.
Or how do I keep that processor off? So
yeah.
to that end, we said, let's really put some heavy lifting power in here. Let's give our customers the ability to do as much pre-processing as possible.
Mm.
to keep that processor off. So we put in MAC blocks. So what I really mean when I say that is multipliers, 16 by 16 multipliers, followed by 32-bit accumulators. That's a block.
Mm-hmm.
We put 4 of those in.
Okay.
And they're completely programmable as well. So that's the digital stuff you would expect to be married to fabric.
Yeah.
But we took it a step farther.
Okay.
So we added a couple other things in there that have never before been seen in an FPGA. And that is light drivers.
Okay.
Yeah, we put LED drivers in constant current sync. So we have 324 milliamp constant current sinks that are beautiful for driving RGB indication.
All right.
So when you couple that with fabric, now you have the ability to do things as simple as, you know, let's turn lights on red, green, and blue, all the way up to what I would call disco lighting.
Okay.
Dimming effects. Flashing
yeah, yeah.
effects, color mixing, all of the above, and you can personalize it based on anything. You can take inputs from sensors. Is it dark out? dim. Is my friend calling? Light it green. Is it from work? Man, flash it red.
Yes.
Right? So you can imagine all the user stimulus that can change how you light your phone,
huh,
or your wearable, or
right,
you stopped breathing in that medical device, right?
Right.
So we put these RGB indicators in, and on top of that, we also put in a 500 milliamp constant current sync as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for driving high brightness LEDs. There's
okay,
a lot of applications out there that want to drive either a torch,
mm-hmm,
a flash, or something totally different, a non-visible spectrum infrared LED.
Right.
For all of us lazy people out there who want to be able to change the TV or
right,
control devices from across the room,
mm-hmm,
in industrial situations with line of sight, you need a lot of juice to drive that infrared signal. So
true,
we put a 500 milliamp constant current sink for that purpose. High brightness or high current LEDs.
Hmm. Interesting. So, Joy, you got a demo board for this bad boy?
I do. I got a couple of these things.
Excellent.
I have a breakout board that is specifically targeted to enable evaluation and development for engineers. And I also have a Snapdragon system board.
Okay.
And a daughter card where you can mimic the behavior, any behavior you wish to develop, and hook it up to the Snapdragon board that mimics a mobile device. So we
cool,
have both.
Excellent. So, Joy, your little off-the-cuff question time. Now, I heard you were a rescue diver, and you rescued a shark? Now, please, do tell my audience about that. You don't hear that very often.
So, I'm a scuba diver, and I love to scuba dive, and I found myself at Monastery Bay in California, known for rolling divers upside down and ripping the regulator out of your mouth. It was an easy day for me, but it was a very rough day for a shark.
Oh.
Yeah, I found a poor shark. I found a poor shark. A six-foot shark. I think it was a sand shark. And it had a damaged eye. I don't know what happened, but the poor thing was rolling in the waves and was surely going to die and get sand in its gills. So I couldn't help myself. I had to run out there, leave my class, grab the shark, swim him all the way through the break
wow,
zone and make sure he got past the kelp.
Aww.
And I realized when I looked back at the shore, it was a long way and I really didn't want to get bit, but good karma was on my side. He just swam off and let me go.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
It was fun.
Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me, Joy. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Great time, Amelia. Thanks.
What else could round out this festivious field programmable Gatorade party? Barry Mullins from Xilinx. Barry and I break out the chips and salsa, order up a couple margaritas, and dig into the details of this year's X-Fest. Welcome, Barry. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Amelia. My pleasure.
So, Barry, what are the key topics Xilinx wants to highlight at this year's X-Fest?
So, Amelia, we have a couple of different things that we're going to highlight at this X-Fest. And the first is built around our Zynq SoC from Xilinx. And we're going to highlight a number of different performance capabilities with regard to how you accelerate software and using the Neon engines and also using the programmable logic to do software acceleration. We're also going to use Zynq as the basis for some power demonstrations and capabilities showing how you manage power within the Zynq system by using frequency scaling, turning on and off various different peripherals, including the programmable logic, and also how you would manage that from a low power situation if you've got a low power design and you want to be able to manage that power in there. And then we're also taking the opportunity to showcase our new UltraScale technology. Our UltraScale is our 20 nanometer FPGA technology, and we have a couple of different things there we're going to showcase. The first being around memory and our capabilities with memory. We're able to run DDR4 SRAM at 2400 megabits per second. We've also got HMC or hybrid memory cube capability with that device, and we're going to show a demonstration there and showcase how designers can take advantage of the bandwidth and performance and capability of the device connected to such high-performance memory interfaces. And in line with that, we see a lot of the wireless community using what's known as the JESD204B standard for serial interface to high-performance and digital systems, and we're going to showcase that JESD wideband data acquisition as well on that same device. And you need that to be able to support the kind of bandwidths that are now being required by many of these wireless systems.
So what kind of designers are you expecting to attend?
So we would expect our traditional FPGA hardware HDL type designers to attend many of the sessions based around our programmable logic technology. But as we've moved to an all programmable company and we've added our SoC type devices, we're expecting a lot of, we'll say, new designers from an embedded software or embedded firmware perspective, and even application software design engineers that would be writing their applications on top of either key operating systems or key real-time operating systems. Because we've added Zynq, which has dual-arm Cortex A9 processors with a huge embedded focus. So we're expecting a new community to take up places at XFest and to extend the actual community that we've been reaching out to with this kind of training scenario.
Are there any new applications or methodologies that we'll be seeing at this year's XFest that we haven't seen before?
There are a number of new different things that we're going to see at XFest, both from the FPGA side and from the system on a chip side. Some of those new technologies are like the hybrid memory queue, the HMC that I mentioned, and that's a very new standard that really shows us a leadership position. And for those designers that need that requirement, that's all new. The JESD standard has been around for a short period of time, and people are familiar with it. They'll see that operating on a 20 nanometer device. And then when it comes to the SoC, that power and performance I talked about, that software acceleration, we're really unlocking a lot of that now with our tools capabilities. So there'll be some new technology around the tools in there to demonstrate how to take advantage of the actual programmable logic, the embedded software, and then how the tools actually play to unlock that.
Now, Barry, you touched upon this earlier, but is Zynq becoming a bigger part of the XFest lineup? And are the people who attend to learn about Zynq different than your usual FPGA attendees?
Oh, absolutely. Zynq is a large part of our portfolio at 28 nanometer. And you're going to see that Xilinx has moved from a programmable logic device company to an all programmable device company. Zynq is a bigger play there. It's going to be become a much, much larger part of XFest this time around, with about, say, 50% or more of the actual classes and the demonstrations being based on Zynq. Because of that, there is a shift in focus from the attendee perspective. What would have been traditionally an FPGA or HDL designer perspective, they will have interest in Zynq, but we've also extended that now to the embedded community, the guys that they work closely with, where they have to integrate both the drivers and operating system at that base level, or for software applications where they want to accelerate DSP functions or accelerate some video processing capabilities. Most people are now looking at Zynq as to how they can solve those problems, because we're adding, as I said, tools and technology that allow people to code in C and program the actual device and take advantage of either the processor or the programmable logic. So this new shift in all programmable capability, both programmable software, programmable hardware, programmable I/O, and programmable interconnect, we have the ability to reach out to a new community of embedded software, firmware design engineers, and system architects that in the past would have been aware of Xilinx, but not necessarily integrated into the active design on a daily basis. Now that is shifting with the new technology that we're bringing in.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Barry. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
No problem. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, did you know that XFest is coming up real soon? That's true. Yep, Avnet and Xilinx are excited to announce the technical program for this year's XFest, a global series of seminars offering practical how-to training for FPGA, DSP, SoC, and embedded systems designers. Don't miss this opportunity to learn more about recent innovations in technology and product development methodology from Xilinx, and to experience a deep dive with Avnet technical experts into the key technology domains where Xilinx FPGAs deliver unique, high impact, and cost savings capabilities. Events start in September in North America. All right, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want to register right this very instant for this year's XFest, you can. I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page that will take you directly there. Also, Have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, well, yes, we're there as well. We also have a YouTube channel. It's chocked full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 1st, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.